This is an ABC podcast.
Live from Melbourne's new Town Hall Station.
On the ABC Listen app.
Your smart speaker.
And on your radio. This is The Conversation Hour on 774 ABC Radio Melbourne and ABC Victoria. You're with Rochelle Hunt.
Well, if you've ever wondered what it may look like in the future, I think now we have an idea because there is a whole new world beneath our city. You leave the old of Melbourne, whether you're on Collins Street or De Graves, and below it all looks, sounds and feels completely different. Three levels of what, if you could imagine a shopping centre that's brand new with no shops. Trains are hidden behind black frosted glass, escalator after escalator, and the lighting looks different and feels different. It's been called the biggest change to our rail and how we get around in 40 years. And you may have been one of the thousands that were here for the trial run yesterday. We are at Town Hall Station and so far it is running smoothly. We've got a mix of train spotters and those who are just interested to see it and those who are going about their daily commute. So today on the Conversation Hour, you are going to meet architects, you are going to meet train drivers, you are going to meet masters of the station, and you are going to meet one man who had this idea back in 2005. So is it everything that he imagined it would be? But we've already got some listeners who heard we were here today who have wandered down to Town Hall Station. If you're in the area, we're at the Collins Street exit. There's three incredible levels at this train station. So if you're in the city, if you're at the train station, come and find us. We're at the Collins Street platform at exit one at Town Hall Station.
Live from Melbourne's new Town Hall Station.
This is The Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
We have station masters, we have commuters, we have professors of architecture who may be able to say, I had this idea decades ago. Thank you very much for joining you this hour, Simon Knott, Principal Architect from BKK Architects. Simon, it feels like the red tape, you know, the chicken wire, the barricades are just slowly being removed from our city, from our CBD. And after what feels like a decade-long makeover, the city is starting to reveal itself, whether it be the city square up above us or one of the many stations that have opened here. You were here yesterday. Yeah. It feels different, doesn't it?
It's very exciting, very exciting. I'm not a train spotter, but I'm certainly I'm passionate about infrastructure. And I think any time that we're building, you know, these big bits of infrastructure in our cities, it's a good thing for Melbourne. And it does feel like, I work just a couple of hundred metres from here. And I remember coming back after lockdown and seeing these sites and thinking, oh, it's going to be like 5 years before they get up and, you know, kind of open up. And actually to see them now revealed into the city is really wonderful. And it's just what Melbourne needs, yeah. A bit of excitement to kind of get people back. And yesterday it was palpable here. It was packed. I mean, I inadvertently got on the first train. I didn't mean to. I was sort of standing here and it came in at this station and said, this is the first train. And so I squeezed on with everyone else. And there was, you know, so many people so excited to see this happening. So, you know, I think it is a really great thing for our city. And it's been 40 years, 40,
yeah,
40 plus years since the loop opened. So it's a long time. And in that time, you know, our population's nearly doubled. So it's well overdue.
So we're at the base of three sets of escalators, but they're at either end of us. We are on the third level down below. There are people coming and going as we speak. Lots of people have tried to describe the architecture. The one that we're at the moment is Town Hall. As an architect, I mean, the lighting is very strong here. And given how deep underground we are, it doesn't feel claustrophobic. I'm trying not to think about how deep underground we are, actually, because my mind sort of implodes a little bit. But how would you describe what we're looking at?
Well, I think it's the opposite of that, actually. The opposite of feeling claustrophobic. You have no real sense of where you are. Well, I don't anyway. I don't feel like, apart from coming down lots of escalators, you don't really feel like you're that far underground. Although we are quite a long way. This is one of the... This is State Library, the two deepest ones. But we're in this quite cathedral-like space. And the way these stations are built a bit differently from the way the shallower ones are built, where they build from a box down. This one, you build the tunnels, and then you sort of build this space in between. So you get this really beautiful, quite high cathedral-like space. It must be sort of 10 metres high here or so. And it's lined by these beautiful, bright orange ribs, and then these quite extraordinary light pendants that hang through the middle of them. So it does feel like a contemporary version of a lot of the grand old stations that you would have seen, you know, throughout Europe or other parts of the world, and very different to what we see on the City Loop, which are quite sort of compressed spaces. So it feels quite safe and open, doesn't it? It's sort of, there's no sort of spaces to hide or
The fact that you called them bright orange ribs, has anyone else called them that? Because that's exactly, if you could imagine standing in the belly of a dinosaur.
A whale, yeah.
Or a whale, exactly. And up above you, you have these bright orange ribs. One thing that everyone has mentioned to me today, whether it be commuters, whether it be I had a chat with a paramedic who was talking about the fact that she had to laminate a little card and keep it in her back pocket so that she knew what level she was on and to try and find her way around. But everyone has spoken about moving from the old to the new. So if you're at Collins Street, if you're looking up at the cathedral, if you're walking through the old part of the train station, if you're in De Graves, and then you enter this brand new world, how do you describe moving from the old to the new?
Well, there's an interesting way that a lot of these bits of infrastructure are built. And you can look at the Elizabeth Line in London and also in Sydney, where there's a kind of a line-wide, they call it line-wide identity. So when you're underground and you look at the tunnels that go along, there's a slight similarity, they're slightly different, like the light fittings are different, but there's this orange theme that goes through and there's kind of similar palettes, but they kind of feel like they're part of the same thing. But as you get up to ground level, then they become part of the city, and they're very much designed to be integrated into the city. And town halls, the square here is a little bit different because it's on part of a city square, but then there's that whole part that embeds back into Young and Jackson's in behind and into the city. It's very much like you'd see in London or Tokyo or other parts of the city. And in a bit of great engineering too, and great foresight from the early founders of Flinders Street Station, I came up through De Graves underpass. You know, that it links into the side of De Graves, and that's all been rejuvenated and kind of restored back to its original self as well. So it's very much stitching itself back into the city. But I agree, you come from what feels like little fragments of the city. It's not that big up on top, is it?
No.
It's not like these huge big stations like Flinders Street are. And you come down and you're kind of in these cavernous things.
Into this whole new
world. It's a marvel. It is really, to me, I still find it incredible that you can actually build these things this deep underground.
So you're in the conversation now. My name's Rochelle Hunt. Simon Knott is with you from BKK Architects. We are currently live from Town Hall Station. If you're in the area, we are at exit 1 on Collins Street, which is the third level. Professor Graham Curry is going to be joining you in just a moment. Professor of Architecture, back in 2005, had some of the original ideas that we are standing with here today when a think tank was asked to come together, to come up and to rethink how our city gets around. But we are mobile today as well. Kate Mead, as always, is with us. She is down the other end of the station. Kate, who have you bumped into?
Well, I have ran into Saskia, who is here with her partner and two children today. What's brought you down here today? Have you taken some time off to go and explore, or are you going somewhere?
We're not going anywhere. We're on parental leave and we're looking for a wet day weather activity. And we live in South Kensington. So we've been seeing the tunnel kind of progress in terms of like all the works. And so just wanted to check it out.
Will it change the way that you operate around Melbourne?
Yeah, really interesting. I think for us it probably won't, because to get to the tunnel we actually have to go backwards. So we have to take a bus to Footscray to get onto a train that we can make it into the city on. So for us, just going to Kensington or South Kensington will continue to be the way we get into the city. But in terms of the aesthetic and the usability of it, it's a much nicer experience than going through the City Loop.
And what do you think of it? How does it look to you?
Yeah, I mean, first impressions, it looks like we're in the 21st century. So big step up from the City Loop in terms of even just like the not being able to access the actual tracks from the station. The stations are obviously newer and cleaner, and the lighting is better and the design is nicer. There's also just a lot more advertising, which I think I wasn't really expecting. But I guess that's part and parcel of it.
Thank you so much for joining the Conversation Hour. I'm going to keep exploring, Rochelle, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to get lost, Kate, so just keep that little tracker on in your back pocket. I mean, that's the thing as well, is that there is lighting. It does feel bigger. It does feel safer. It's not that older area. And one thing that hasn't been discussed, because there are some bits of Flinders Street and underneath where it looks pretty grotty. It smells like, let's face facts, it smells like urine. You know, it doesn't smell like wee in here, Simon, not. I mean, that's always... No. Positive, isn't it?
No, it does not. It actually feels really lovely and warm and actually does feel quite safe. I think that's another part of it, it's a really important part of this. And people will comment on them. We see them commonly overseas, but the automatic doors for the trains too. So you're not having trains rushing past and all the wind that comes with that. It actually feels quite calm here.
Well, we're going to speak to one of the people behind the original think tank bank in 2005 in just a moment. But if you're in the area, we are live today from Town Hall Station. We're at the Collins Street exit down at exit one. You just head down the escalators. If you come from the other way, you'll see us. We're moving around.
Live from Melbourne's new Town Hall Station,
this is the Conversation Hour on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
We are live and we are mobile. Good morning. My name's Rochelle Hunt. Simon, not a BKK Architects, is with you. We're going to have a chat to the station master in just a moment. Kate Mead is making her way around. But Professor Graham Curry, Professor of Public Transport at Monash University, it was back in 2005 that the City of Melbourne came to you and said, could you put some thought into, maybe come up with a think tank and some research around how public transport could be done differently? And that is almost where the beginnings of what we're standing in was created.
Yeah, that's right. It was a Monash Faculty of Engineering project. Now, the metro idea had been around before, but what we did is we conceptualised it. We put some rationale behind it, and we solved the idea. We're the first people to actually talk about it. And really, that's when it caught the imagination of the public. It was in front page of the newspapers. Really, before that, our public transport system had just been plagued with its problems. We had very small thinking about what we could do for the future, and yet the problems were growing and growing, so we need to think big. Luckily, in my history, I worked on Crossrail in the early days in London, and I've worked on lots of metros, and I realised that Melbourne was the perfect place to really put these things together and to join up our two biggest railway groups, and here we see it today. It's been a great experience.
Can you explain for listeners, because this is more than just going from A to B, sort of heading from Anzac Station up to Arden, isn't it? So what does it actually do beyond just providing a point-to-point kind of transport link?
Okay, Melbourne has four big rail groups. The two largest ones are the Caulfield group of lines and the Northern group of lines. What this does is it joins them together directly. So each of those lines, instead of circling the CBD and going back where they came, suddenly come straight through. So immediately, you can go from one end of Melbourne to the other directly, very quickly. In addition, it duplicates the capacity of the rail loops, which means that all the other lines that are not on the service suddenly have more capacity because they're not running the trains from Caulfield Group. So lots of reasons why it was a good idea. Fundamentally, we weren't thinking big enough in those days. And the idea of tunnels, you know, was so well out of the thinking. I have to say that when we released it, there was quite a lot of negative thinking. You know, that guy's from a university, ivory towers. But we did capture the imagination of a lot of people.
It's an important message, that one, isn't it? Because a lot of people I've spoken to go, oh, I don't know if I'll ever catch it. I don't live up there. I don't live there. But what it will do is benefit you in other ways through actually getting more capacity, more trains onto the loop, so more frequency.
And not just that, I feel like it's connected the CBD. So, yes, it will filter its way out and make your commute hopefully a little easier out in the suburbs. But Graham, it feels like it somehow has brought the city alive in some way.
Yes, I think one of the rationales for it is anything you do in central areas is a really high benefit because there's a lot of users there. Also, the distances aren't as long. This is only a 9-kilometre tunnel, whereas trying to do something in the outer suburbs, you know, takes 30 kilometres or so. So it's a kind of a cost-effective, high-impact measure And really, it's been beautifully designed, I have to say. I've been very impressed by the outcome here, and I congratulate all of those involved, including the 7,000 workers who built it.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at some of the machinery as well, and workers is a big part of it. We should talk about that. But speaking of designing, the man standing beside you, Mark Lachlan, who is one of the principal board directors and head designer at Hassell Architects. Mark, when you listen to people talking about what they can see, how it feels, how it brings the city together, the decades of work that has gone into this, was it an emotional time for you and your team to see all of this come together?
Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a decade for a huge group of people and a massive design team. So, yeah, it's been quite an emotional few days. And I just actually bumped into a group of the public who arrived up in City Square just now, and I asked them how they're feeling, and they were looking in wonder, trying to orientate themselves between City Hall and St Paul and the church. And just to see the joy on people's faces is great.
It is incredible when you walk up these escalators, of which there are many, many escalators, and then you pop out and the cathedral is there. It's quite spectacular to go from one extreme to the other.
I love the contrast between the modern, bright, warm, lovely environment, modern technology, and you walk out into an ancient infrastructure with the St. Paul's and so forth, seeing the grandeur of our old streets. I like the contrast between the two.
It's nice to have the barricades off as well, isn't it, in the city?
Oh, my God. So not have the barriers and a lot of the stickers off. Everything is becoming more sort of more usable, effectively, and more visible and more porous.
Our city's been covered up for such a long time. I think we all forgot what she looked like.
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
Mark, can you just tell us a little bit about the design approach here? Because, I mean, we don't want to always compare with Sydney, but inevitably people are because they've just opened up their metro there. And it is, and not to say one is better or worse, but they are different approaches, where in Sydney it's sort of a more integrated design. Whereas this is much more, I guess, in that Richard Rogers kind of model, goes back to the Pompidou of a kit of parts that's kind of assembled here. So it is slightly different in the way it's done. It's some extraordinarily detailed light fittings. I mean, the industrial design part of it really struck me yesterday going around them. And these are just beautiful, almost works of art in themselves.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail. I mean, yeah, it's interesting between Sydney and Melbourne. I guess Sydney's approach was more a vertical approach to the stations, and in Melbourne it's more a horizontal approach to these stations. So there's more similarities from certainly platform level from station to station. And yeah, I mean, this space that we're in, it's a beautiful space, isn't it? It's about 18 or 19 metres wide, which is really unique for a platform, and to have the volume here. And then, yeah, the details and the fenestrations, and, you know, there's a lot of kit up there that has to be dealt with as well in these stations. So it's all been integrated into the elements you see.
People wouldn't appreciate just the extraordinary complexity that goes into delivering one of these stations from the design teams through to construction. I mean, it's not just like you come up with some ideas and come and build it, is it? It goes through years of reviews and testing, inquiry by technical experts to get to these points. And tell me, you tested all these bits as prototypes, didn't you? They're all done, and they're tested for blasts, in case there's
off. They're all made locally. But you're right.
You've got to think about it, though.
Well, you have to think about all these details, and I can't tell you how many design iterations, you know, we've had in the journey of this particular space and of the elements that you see within this, you know, amazing volume.
So we are down at Town Hall Station. We are live today. We are at the Collins Street entrance and exit. So if you see us, you can wander on down. Timothy's here. Timothy, hello. How old are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How old are you?
10.
And why are you here today?
To check out the new tunnel, to see what's going on, the trains. I like this tunnel. I've been waiting basically my whole life for it.
What do you like? What's the first thing that you liked about it when you saw it?
First of all, probably the new stations. I really like all the designs with the platform screen doors. If I had to pick which one's my favourite, it's probably going to be Parkville.
Why is that?
It's near the main university, which is the main place where all trams terminate, and
And it looks good?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. The entrance is, when I saw the concept, I really liked it because how the entrance is glass and then the escalator goes down.
And what about these doors? So you can't see the train from the platform. We're so used to being able to see the tracks and the train, but they're all hidden behind this black frosted glass. It looks strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're called platform screen doors. When a train comes, since all the trains in the tunnel are automated, when they come, when the driver hits the signal to open the doors, the platform screen doors actually manually push the button on the doors to open all of them.
Wow, you know a lot. You've been doing your research.
Yeah.
So this is a big, important day for you.
Yeah. It's a really interesting day for me here because, first of all, I have a day off from school. Then I met the Premier. And afterward, I get to have an interview here and I get to see the cool tunnel.
Wow. And do you want to work in, like, in trains somehow, someday, some way?
Yes, I would. I really like the trains. I've been liking them even before I was born. So that's really exciting for me. And I really want to, like, drive the trains, maybe do some platform work.
Wow. Well, high five. What a day you've had, Timothy.
Yeah, incredible. Mark, you ought to give Timothy a job.
Yeah. this is the designer here behind, one of the many designers. Do you have a question for Mark?
I'll put you on the spot, haven't I?
What do you think is the most interesting station in Melbourne or the Metro Tunnel?
Oh, good question. Well, the five new stations, I'd probably have to say, are the best stations. And I actually like Town Hall, I think, this station, because it brings you right into the middle of the city and you pop up and you really know you're in Melbourne the moment you step up into the new city square.
It's interesting. They all do have their own personalities, don't they? And particularly up at the street level. And I agree with you, Timothy. I really like Parkville as well, because when you get down, it's actually also got shops in there already. So there's a sort of level of activation that really helps it along. But it's got this beautiful Patricia Piccinini artwork, who's a fantastic Melbourne artist, that runs along the sort of entry into it, which really makes it a worthwhile place. But also, there's 130,000 people each day that work in that precinct, that study and work in the hospital and the university and everything. So it's actually really serving. They've never had a train station, so it's servicing a big need up at that end of town.
Absolutely. How tricky is it? I mean, Timothy, well done. Do you want to meet the train driver later? He's going to be here and you can have a chat to him as well. So hang around. All right, yeah, I know. Your day's just getting better and better, man.
Can't wait to get in the cab.
All right, okay, we'll see what we can do. We've got some contacts here. So my name's Rochelle Hunt. We have Mark Logan with you. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Mark? Lachlan, apologies, who is the principal architect and board director of Hassell Architects. Simon Knott of BKK Architecture is with you, and Professor Graham Curry is with you. He's from Monash University and Professor of Public Transport. When we talk about how different it looks here with the trains lining up behind the doors. Yesterday they didn't line up directly. There's lots of questions around whether or not trains can actually reverse and how people get on and off and what we do. What's the thinking behind having the trains hidden behind glass doors?
Lots of reasons. Firstly, they've got to be very precise to do that. And that's useful because then we know exactly where the train is, where people can get off. Secondly, it's environmental control. We can do much better heating sustainably and cooling. Tunnels also have a sound effect. And also there's a safety issue with tunnels. If you have open station platforms, people can fall off them and so forth. Really, this is all part of being a precision railway at high frequency and high volume. Here's an interesting fact you might not have realised yet, but we're running 7 car sets here, but if you look carefully, these stations are designed for 10 car sets, which is getting us to a London quality of capacity.
It's interesting you mentioned sound, and I don't know how much of this came into the design, but when I was having a chat to one of the paramedics based here, and she has some ear issues, and she was talking about how the sound here is good, that anyone with any kind of sensory issues it will be okay in this space versus, say, some of our more traditional train stations. And the sound, it doesn't feel like a train station.
Yeah, it has a sort of acoustic comfort, doesn't it? You feel comfortable having a conversation with the people around you, but at the same time, you know, public announcements, train announcements, all these sort of things have to work in a really
simple way. You don't have that big gust of wind that comes
in. That's a big one.
That's a big one too. Yeah, it's very still, but it is a big volume. So there's a lot of work going into making the acoustics right.
I was looking at them yesterday, looking at these doors and thinking, we will look in 20 years' time or so or in the future and say it was actually crazy at any time that we could actually just, you know, the platform was open in that way, that there wasn't screen doors there. And it must be enormously comforting for drivers too, because if there is an accident it's devastating for them, isn't it?
The issue is the engineering and being precise to be able to get to the doors. And, of course, these are effectively driverless trains. They're using autonomous technology here. And one of the beauties of this is we seem to have implemented it just for this section with a lot of buy-in from the workforce. You know, usually the workforce is against any of these sorts of automatic systems.
Is that the future? Like, no, I mean, we're about to speak to a train driver, so, you know, maybe keep your voice down. But
well, no, I think it is the future. And drivers, these guys are taking a lot of responsibilities in these trains. They're carrying more than a 747 worth of people on them. So they need to have a very good, safe environment, and I think they are the future, and I think it's a great experience.
But just for public to know, there are people. There is someone sitting in the front of the train, but they're not actually, because the ones you go to in Japan. I've been on one in Japan where you can actually sit up in the front, and it's glazed, and our kids will look like they were driving the train.
And the Sydney has autonomous trains now. In fact, autonomous trains are virtually the norm in Asia now, and there's a gigantic growth in them because they are better designed. They're more fuel efficient. They are environmentally efficient, and actually the drivers quite a lot of costs. And the more that we can have automation, we can split the cars up and we have better frequency.
I feel like we're talking about you but not with you, because standing alongside us, Anthony Sutton is a train driver. It's okay, your job is safe. We've discovered that even though they're autonomous, we still need you. Anthony, how long have you been a train driver?
About 7 years.
Okay, and how different is this to what you used to and what you've been doing in the past?
Totally different. This is giving back to the people of Melbourne, you know, just helping them move around. You know, previous jobs I've been behind a desk.
Oh, really?
So, yes, now I'm up the front there looking out the window, getting people to where they want to go.
And yesterday, in your words, how did it all flow?
Oh, what a day for Melbourne. I was lucky enough to drive the first train out of East Pakenham and bring it in. 300 people on the platform at East Pakenham, 1,500 by the time we got into Town Hall, and they were chanting and cheering. What a day.
One of them was you, Simon.
Yeah, I did get on here, so yes.
Did you expect the fanfare, so to speak? Because, look, we do love to criticise the state government. You know, we do like to have a bit of a whinge about what's happening, how long things are taking. But I am surprised by the love, the excitement, the happiness, the curiosity, everything that's come with the opening of these stations. It's almost like everyone has forgotten budget blowouts, delays, timelines, inconvenience, noise. Everyone goes, okay, I see why we were doing it now.
Look, at the end of the day, they're all questions for tomorrow. You know, yesterday was all about opening the tunnel, introducing it to the people of Melbourne, and it was just a party atmosphere. You know, everybody was curious, everybody wanted to come and have a look. And as I said, the chanting and cheering on the train, you know, it was just an awesome day.
How do you line them up to these doors here so that the doors match with the doors? I mean, I can barely reverse park, so don't laugh, it's true.
I haven't tried reverse parking myself recently, so the train itself has computers in it that align the train, so, you know, it's fairly accurate every single time. You know, it has a 30-centimetre window to stop the train in, to just line them up perfectly.
Did you meet Timothy, the little boy before?
I did. I was having a chat with him. Chat with him before. He certainly knows his business.
Can we get him? Can we get him up the front with you or something? Or is he gone already? Oh, I was going to hook him up. I think we've given him a good little trip. All right, so he can maybe sit up and ride with you.
I think further to what you were saying before too, Rochelle, I don't think people will mind the costs and the disruption and everything if it's good and if it works. And I think that's what it's showing here. Like if we kind of open it up and we've gone through all the pain and it's cost a lot of money, like a website for Bureau of Meteorology or something, then it's a bit of a disappointment. So I think that's really the key.
Conscious for you, I'm sure?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. These types of projects are pretty rare and... this is a true public building.
Did you think twice about taking it on? Because, quite seriously, it would be one of the biggest projects to ever do.
Well, to be honest, every project you question whether to take it on. But, certainly this is the biggest project probably I've done, that we've done. And, there's lots of risks, but also, to everyone's point here, there's a lot of joy. And, ultimately bringing some joy to people's lives and making their lives more efficient and diverse is a good thing.
And there are people from everywhere today. We met people locally, but then we're also meeting people like Anne, who have come from Sorrento. Hello, Anne. Who have you got with you?
I've got three of my granddaughters with me because I've got a school closure day at school.
There's a lot of school closure days today. It's good timing, isn't it? Something to do.
Planning for primary school, teachers planning for next year at this time of the year.
And given, first day of summer, so stinking hot outside, it's not. What do you think, girls? What did you think when you got to the station?
That it was really beautiful.
Yeah. What was beautiful about it?
The chandeliers.
Yeah. Someone described, I think it was Simon, described these big orange things above us as like big bright orange ribs, like we're standing inside a whale or inside a dinosaur. What do you think?
It's really good.
And what did you think, sweetie?
The chandeliers look really beautiful.
And have you been on a train yet?
Yes.
And what was that like?
Bumpy.
And have you found your way around okay?
Oh, yeah, easily. There were very helpful people.
Yeah. There's lots of people around, isn't there?
In security guard, kind of like this. And we asked, I think, three different people where to go next, and it was very easy.
So what have you got plans for the rest of the day?
Well, we've come in for the My Windows because it's a tradition. We do it every year, and this coincided with it, which was perfect.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, girls.
The rain, not so perfect, but we've all got hoodies and whatever. We'll be fine.
It's just weather. Okay, well, enjoy the rest of your trip and have a safe trip home. You can join us. No worries. See ya. You can join us. We are today. The Conversation Hour is live from Town Hall Station. We are at the Collins Street exit, but if you come in through the entry, you'll find us eventually. We're wandering around. My name's Rochelle Hunt. Now, Professor Graham Curry is a professor of engineering. You are from the Public Transport Department at Monash University. See, I got it right that time, didn't
well
I?
Done.
Absolutely. Thank you. When you stand alongside Mark here, who is one of the designers, I know of which there were many putting this together, is this like a meeting of minds that the idea came about back in 2005, we need to go underground, it needs to be tunnels, and today it's happening. Today you are walking inside it. I mean, this is something that you probably never thought you would see happen.
Well, one hopes. And actually one hopes the future we might see more. I hope the enthusiasm we've seen generated in this makes us realise that we should have more infrastructure like this. And sadly, the city needs more of this. There's plenty of discussion of new metros. I know they're hard to put together, but, we've succeeded with one. We should take the same concept into the future.
And the other thing we need to keep on top of, too, is frequency of trains, because at the moment they're only going every 15 minutes, I think, or something like that, isn't it?
20.
20 minutes. So, but the idea is, as we've been promised, is you just, like you do in Tokyo or wherever, you just roll up to the station
completely.
And they'll be going every couple of minutes, won't they?
So they're talking about 3 or 4 minute headways, which is pretty good. But, with this infrastructure, we should be able to get better than that.
So we've got to keep on. So it's getting more frequency, building more trains and keeping them going through the system.
Yep.
Can I ask you, Mark, just on one thing that's really important in these places is wayfinding. Mm-hmm. People sometimes talk about that as signage, and there's certainly lots of signs around, but it's actually the sort of natural way you might flow through. And I tried to do it yesterday as much as I could, is actually not look at any signs and just see where you kind of go through.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
to see if you actually just...
Yeah, an intuitive sort of way through. Is that how much thought went into the sort of idea of wayfinding through these stations?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a key topic. And I guess, porosity and the idea of people flow was really important, and sight lines are equally key. As we're standing here, you can actually see quite a long distance and see as people come from the left to right, they get a intuitive and a natural wayfinding system. But of course, the signage, the integration of all the elements are key to that.
And the ceilings? There's a sort of a bicolour to the ceilings up in the upper levels, isn't there? They were going from sort of pink to white or something.
That's right. There's two colour tones. There's the white towards the station, or sorry, red towards the station and the white towards the exit. So as you're moving through the different pathways and obviously in Town Hall, there's a myriad of sort of tentacles effectively that come up and out into different parts of the city.
One thing, and maybe this is a conversation for another time, we've spoken a lot about safety and in particular for women in train stations and how safe we do or don't feel, to be honest, in train station. The light, the distance that you can see that you just mentioned, there is a sense of safety here. And before we have a chat to our station master who's also joining us, one thing I've just noticed is all of the pillars that we're looking at here, it actually reminds me a little bit of the Platform 13. You're down at Flinders Street Station where you've got all of the pillars underneath. Is there in any way a nod here with some of these pillars to our older train stations? Or am I just making that up, Mark?
I think you're making it up, to be honest.
Platform 13 is pretty grungy and dirty anyway.
Yeah, you're right. You're pretty much under the street at that point. But I know what you mean. I mean, obviously these are a key to the engineering, but they're also great. This is very much a public space, and particularly with the screen doors to the train stations, that provides that flexibility of use here for different things, which is good.
So your name is Peter, is that right?
That's me, yeah.
Where have you come from today?
Ivanhoe.
And what brought you here?
Curiosity. I want to see what it looks like.
What was your first impression?
Fantastic. I love the look of it. I love the open space, the bright and airiness. I think this is going to be a game changer for getting around Melbourne.
In what way? How do you think it will change the city? Because it feels different, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm a pensioner. I use rail transport a lot. And finding this to actually connect to places that I want to go that don't service the normal network, this is great.
I've always wondered whether it was to service commuters and locals or tourists. So you feel like it will help you?
I think it's just going to suit everyone. You know, if you use the trains a lot, and a lot of people do, this is brilliant.
How will it change, Graham, this is probably something for you, how will it change commuters' day-to-day travel? Like, how different will it be?
Well, firstly, it'll be quicker to get to places. There are a few people lose out, but there's so few of them. But the main benefit is it'll be quicker. Also, I think more reliable. Now we've got automated trains at high frequency. And the quality of the environment, the experience of the passengers is going to be much easier. It feels safer, for example. There's great, great lighting in these places. It's warm. It is inviting. I think it's just going to be a great experience.
One of the maybe a little bit unsaid things about this new line is the amount of connection that it has to Melbourne's assets. For example, you know, at Anzac, there's obviously the Shrine and the Domain, access to Albert Park Lake. Imagine when the Grand Prix is on, you know, that area will be busy. The station will be super functional for that. And then as you come through the line, you've got direct access to Flinders Street, Federation Square, Town Hall, RMIT, State Library, onto all the universities, the health precinct, onto North Melbourne, all those things on one line, which is a great new facility and, I guess, community link for the people of Melbourne.
One thing I've noticed this morning is that there's a lot of staff, and Station Master is standing beside me, who's been coordinating a lot of those. I'm going to have a chat to him in just a tick. But I've also seen, I think now maybe my fourth wheelchair user, I've seen two visually impaired people making their way around, all pretty much with ease. And given that we are starting from scratch, we're not retrofitting here, we are starting from scratch, where did ability and disability come in to the design, and what have you all noticed?
Well, it was up in the number one list, absolutely. I mean, accessibility, equality was a key driver for the entire project, and I think, you know, I heard some people on the news yesterday just talking about how accessible it was for them compared to other places and stations around Melbourne. So, yeah, it's a key driver.
I heard someone talking about it who's in a wheelchair, and she said that, you know, that so other stations around, which ones, that to get the, you know, the ramp out, that's a bit humiliating. And here they just, you know, the train
straight
comes
on,
right up,
yeah,
and you just
exactly
go straight on. And I think that's a really big thing. And it's just not for people in wheelchairs too. You've got to remember, if you build accessibility for all, it's people with prams, it's people who, you know, have got walkers who are a little bit fragile, who are older.
Something I've noticed is that the platform edges to the trains are almost perfect.
Yeah, they're cool.
It's like
aren't
someone
they?
You could get a snooker cue, and it's just so perfectly flat. Whereas in a lot of the older stations, you know, there's always a little bit of a gap or a leap.
Is that a design brief to get the snooker cue out?
Yeah, that's a great one. It goes with the accent too, I must say. But yeah, also the generosity of space plays into that, you know, because whether you're a family with strollers or in wheelchairs, there's actually space to give you that sense of comfort as you go through in what can be quite a busy environment.
And I've watched the work of this man standing beside me all morning. Terence Jeremiah is the station master. We've all kind of been gloating, really. I think we need to find some negatives to talk about to balance this out, which, don't worry, I'm not going to throw that at you. But what a role to have. I've seen you talking to staff members, helping people on and off trains, showing people directions that they need. As the station master of the Town Hall station, what is your job?
Hello, everyone. Just to let you know, every day at all our stations across the network is a very planned and organized day. We open the station as per procedure and then ensure that staff are deployed at, you know, at locations where we'll be assisting customers with the staff at the barriers, manage customers who come with prams and come with wheelchairs, and down on the platforms as well. We position staff in accordance to make announcements to ensure passenger safety, and all our PRM passengers are taken care of, boarding the train safely and exiting the train safely as well.
Is it easy to get lost? Like, it's quite big, or do you find your way around pretty easily?
We've got staff in position to handle exactly that. In case there's any questions or we notice customers have queries, there's always staff looking out for customers, ensuring that we're noticing them and helping them.
What's it like working underground?
I love working underground. I've been working at Flagstaff in Parliament and the other stations in the Merle. I enjoy it. It doesn't make a difference to me working underground or on the surface. We're still providing the same service and the same standards.
So it must have been a hoot for you.
We loved yesterday. There's been a lot of planning for our day one operations, and it went like clockwork.
Can you compare some of these stations, like Terence just mentioned there, Flagstaff, and some of the other underground stations that we know when we think the City Loop? I mean, they're really just so different, aren't they?
I noticed how dark the other older ones are. I mean, they're above standard, but I just feel that this is so much brighter an area. It has really been well designed to create an experience which is positive for passengers, I think.
And I think that narrowness of platform and things that Mark was talking about too, like when you go down Parliament, you're sort of when it's busy in peak hour, you're sort of squeezing past people and the train's there coming into the station, so it feels a little
and
bit
scary. And the escalators here are tall, but not like Parliament. You know, with Parliament, you sort of feel like you're going to get an element of vertigo when you're halfway up, you're holding on for dear life. Like, we managed to go down three levels, but at no point did my legs go wobbly.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, we talked about this space and quite a few of the volumes in the different stations as almost pedestrian streets under the street. I mean, that's kind of how it feels down here. It is obviously a train station, but you could equally just meander through here like it is a pedestrian street.
So, Doug, you've meandered through like a pedestrian because you are a pedestrian. Where have you come from today?
Hi, good morning. I've come from Northcote, and we set off at Flinders Street and came down the underpass there and two sets of escalators and into the hall. What I've looked forward to is if it developed into a station like in Japan, where you've got a lot of utility, a lot of shops, a lot of atmosphere, and people can basically live down there and use it. I'm really impressed with the walled doors that completely cut off all the sound from the trains as you come down here. So you've got a lot more chance to have a bit of peace and quiet and do your work or whatever.
And, like, well, it's actually
now, and you can't hear it. No, it's great.
You mentioned the shops, actually, and I'm glad you did. It's something we haven't touched on yet. Not saying that I feel like I spot a shop in here and always do, but there actually aren't too many shops here at the moment, whether it be food, maybe a little bit of retail. Would you like to see shops here?
Oh, absolutely. Same as in Melbourne Central. Look, I travel to Japan once a year. I have for the last 15 years, and that's why I came down here to look at this and see how it compares. It's quieter than Japanese. It's got a lot more utility, but it reminds me a little bit of a Moscow station. I was just telling the lass earlier that these large uprights really look like they need a couple of murals on them.
Well, colour. Colour was something we mentioned earlier to Simon in terms of whether or not it was deliberate, and Mark, maybe that's something you can talk to. There is a lot of concrete. I mean, there's a lot of pops of colour, but is it just because there's not the shops and the retail yet to bring that other element of colour?
Well, it was very much, expressly engineering. as part of the architecture. And then, yeah, specific colours in key places around. There are more retail pop-ups and fit-outs actually coming in the months and weeks ahead. So,
I think there's nothing better than going to Melbourne Central, I agree, where you go down and there's a little Coles or whatever it is there, supermarket. You can just go in and grab your stuff while you're going to the train station. You can do it in about 2 seconds.
Is there scope really for something like that here, like little supermarkets,
absolutely.
Restaurants?
Yeah. And some of that is definitely coming. And I think, as you know, all the stations kind of settle, I'm sure there'll be other opportunities. You know, those unbriefed opportunities that come up that surprise and present opportunities for commercial.
Can we talk about that opportunity? Really struck me going out to Arden, because these bits are in the city, they're in the built-up parts, and as you said before, they're connecting really important parts of our city. But you go out to Arden, and that will be a place of the future. There's a big tender out at the moment for some mass housing out there, quite a lot of it. But you go out there and you're sort of almost in the middle of a kind of vacant lot or a paddock or something. So you're building for the future, which I really love. This will no doubt completely transform that area.
That's the sound of not only our iPad falling, but that's probably the most train sound you'll hear at this station. And I think that's probably why restaurants or bars or other experiences could work alongside places like this, because of the acoustics and noise, or lack of.
As well, what it's about is enhancing the experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, people feel more secure in areas that are busier, there's more activity, and bringing that into your travel is all part of making it more complex for complex lives, that you can take more activities while you're travelling. It's what happens in Asian and European stations. We need more of it here. I'd certainly encourage more of it as part of this, and this infrastructure will lend itself to that.
I always tell people, if you want a great experience in New York, go to the Oyster Bar in Grand Central Station. It's one of the great experiences. It's deep underground and it's this beautiful old 1950s type diner, and they serve like 30 different oysters from around the country.
There you go, there's an idea. There's been lots of comparisons to Japan today. Mark, as the board director and as one of the head designers at Hassell, who's behind the five new stations that everyone in Melbourne, if not Victoria or Australia, is talking about at the moment, do you think now that people will start to talk about these stations the way commuters today have been talking about Japan or Moscow?
Oh, it would be good if they did. As I said before, you know, these projects are so rare, and when they do come along, I think hopefully people will realise that, yes, they're expensive, but ultimately they're really part of Melbourne, the Melbourne experience, the identity, the character, and the experience of Melbourne. And I think, you know, you said it before, we kind of need more of these types of infrastructure projects to... we don't have the trains that Japan have just yet, but that would be
next.
Nice.
And they do. The design life is 100 years for the structure, isn't it? I think they're designed to last over 100 years and 50 years for the fit-out. So they're long-term assets.
So this is sustainable infrastructure. Mm. It's actually what we should be building if we want to meet climate goals and to keep the city growing and the capacity of the city and the energy it has, frankly. We've been on a path where we've been dealing with cars, and they just fill up car parks and fill up roads. This is the future for us. We literally are going to be the size of London by 2050, and this infrastructure allows us to do it. I think we'll look back when we get to 2050 and wonder why we didn't do more.
Yeah,
it's interesting you use the words energy and you use the words cities come alive, and all of that. You can really feel at the moment that as we started this program, we were talking about the red tape and the barricades coming down, the city coming back, remembering what it looked like, although now it looks a little different. But to bring the city square back to life, to have performances there, to have it connected to the train station, that energy you can actually feel in the city at the moment, I think. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, we've always had our office in the city, and so has Mark, actually, and just up from here, and we've really felt that slow comeback from COVID and sort of fits and starts and stuff, and I think this is a real, you know, injection of, you know, what we need in the city and getting people in here. It comes at the perfect time where people can get to the mile windows, do their Christmas shopping, get around really easily.
And that's what we've had today, right? People just going about their lives, whether that be a commute or whether it be taking the grandkids to the Maya window. You're going to need a break after this. Are you going to take a holiday? You have a lie down for 6 months?
I wish. That would be nice. No, we're looking at other opportunities around the country, actually, around the world. But, it is a real honour and a rare honour to be part of a project like this. And, you know, as I said right at the start, it's an enormous group of people that put these projects together. And you mentioned a 100-year project. I mean, that is really something.
Yeah. And, Mark, you should just mention, too, you're from Hassell Architects, obviously, but there was a couple of other firms involved in the consortium that designed this as well.
Yeah, that's right. It was an architectural collaboration between Hassell, Western Wombs and Partners and RSHP or Roger Sturck Harbour and Partners out of the UK. And we also had, you know, obviously a lot of engineering firms. Maynard provided wayfinding and line-wide design as well. So, yeah, a big design team.
The idea that we're sort of standing in the future for someone like yourself, Professor Graham Currie, who has worked in engineering, you know, worked in, I guess, the field of public transport and the future of public transport and how it connects all of us and all of our lives. This must be exciting for you, and it must also be a relief that this is the direction that we're heading in.
Well, it's great to see some real on-the-ground evidence that everybody can see and live. This is what the future should be. We should stop building these freeways that don't really solve the problem. We should be finding infrastructure and solutions that create economic outcomes for everybody, jobs, bring the community together. This is a very social project.
Yeah.
At all levels. We see everybody in this station today of many different types. It's the type of infrastructure we need for the future. I'm really impressed by how the architects have put this together. It just shows some of the best things that this city can do.
Simon, what's, I guess, the highlight for you being here and just actually watching it, the buzz around us over the last couple of hours?
Look, I mean, yesterday and today again too, right. Just a sort of palpable sense of excitement is really in seeing these new things and seeing how much people have embraced them, and geez, we need that in our city. But I'm really struck by, I think what these things do for me is look at potential. It's just kind of see what this could deliver for the future. This is about, you know, growing the city and how it might develop around these stations. And I am absolutely positive in 40 years' time or 20 years' time even, we'll look back at these stations around here and see how much they've impacted the surrounding area and allowed them to
and
flourish and change. And when you go out to Arden in 20 years' time, you'll think, thank God they built that station out there, because there'll be housing everywhere around it.
Was it worth the wait, do you think? Was it worth the time? Was it worth the imposition that it caused?
Yes, and I hope it doesn't take us long to the next bit.
Lovely to meet you in the flesh. We've been talking on and off for years. Professor Graham Currie, he's a professor of engineering from Monash University. Mark Lochnan, who is the principal and board director and head of design at Hassell, thank you so much for your time and for your insights today. And it's been wonderful to just watch people navigate and find their way around your work. It must be great to see people wander around everything that you envisaged, you know.
Oh, it's wonderful.
On a whiteboard many years ago.
It truly is wonderful. And look, it's getting busier as we stand here. It's really amazing to be surrounded by the public. And as you mentioned, it is a social project. This is a project for everyone. I think the benefits of public transport and feeling the joy of public transport, hopefully this project will instill some more of that.
Simon Knott, BKK Architect, Principal Architect, thank you so much for your insights. And I, thanks to you, shall forever see these as bright orange whale ribs above our head.
Well, thank you. There's some other ones at the other stations we can get to name at some other point. But
you and I should do a tour. We can, you can talk about that.
Yeah, but congratulations to Mark and the team, because these are not easy projects. They are a grind at times. And I think, we shouldn't underestimate how difficult it is, not just for the design teams, but everyone involved in these. I just can't believe they can actually build this sort of stuff underground. I think it's an incredible
feat. Absolutely. Well, what an insight it's been today. A huge thank you to everyone who's been involved. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. Take care, and we'll speak to you soon.